Today, I'm happy to share God's word with you, and we're going to continue in Acts. So you can turn to Acts chapter 5, and we'll be starting in verse 17 until the end of the chapter to end of 42. And as you're turning there, I have a few questions that we can think about when we read this passage. We're going to be reading about the apostles, and even a few chapters back, a few of them, Peter and John, were arrested and taken before the leaders. And at that time, they were told not to keep teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus. And the questions I have are, what is it or who is it that the high priest and the councils were afraid of, and why? Why was it that they had this threat or they felt threatened? And then we're going to see one specific leader, Gamaliel, and what is it about him? Later, if we keep reading to the end of Acts and even Paul's testimony, he shares that he was trained under this Gamaliel. He was a famous leader. Another question is, what did the apostles do? How did they respond to this? Were they afraid? Who were they afraid of? And did they trust and obey God? And if they did, how did they do that? And then the last question I have is, what does fear have to do with obedience to God? What do we learn from this story? So if you have Acts 5, starting in 17, I'll go ahead and read it for us. And just pray for us. God, we thank you for this morning that we can open your word and read about what you did at the very beginning, Lord, as the apostles had started this work that you called them to do. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that you poured out on them. And we thank you that we can read this story and read this account so that we know and that you encourage us as we continue to live out the same story of how Jesus is making his kingdom known through us. So we thank you this morning. Please be with us in what we share and what we think and in our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now, when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. Someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men, for Before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So, in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men. Let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. Amen. So, yeah, this morning, as we look at this story that continues, we know last week we had looked at how they had been at work healing and how the Spirit was calling people from all over Jerusalem and they were coming. And so what or who did the high priest and the councils fear? It seems in verse 17, they were filled with jealousy concerning the apostles. They also said in verse 28, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. So many people were coming, there were crowds forming, similar to how it was in the days of Jesus, just a few months back. They said, you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And it seems that they were mostly afraid of the people. Why were they afraid of the people? Why were they afraid that they would be accused or found guilty? We don't know exactly, but when we look at Gamaliel, what about Gamaliel? He gives this wisdom, this advice that they listened to, that if this is a plan of man, it will fall. They had seen other men, Theudas and Judas, who had started some kind of movement and many people followed, but then those men were killed and nothing happened to this plan. So here comes Jesus. He was killed. And now his followers are still there, but he says, if this plan is of men, it will fail. But he leaves room for considering, if it is of God, you may be found opposing God. And so we wonder, what did Gamaliel really think? But we see that the high priests were filled with fear of the people and jealousy and anger that was concerning their own position. So what about the apostles? Who did they fear? And did they trust and obey God? And how did they do that? We see in verse 20 that the angel of the Lord, who freed them in the middle of the night, told them to go and stand and preach and teach. And they obeyed it gladly the next morning. And they rejoiced to be count worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. And so how was it that they could trust and obey God even when they were facing such opposition? And what does fear have to do with obedience to God? What can we learn from this story for today? So today I have 3 points to help us answer this question. And I want to highlight some points about fear, about faith, and about freedom. And so first, looking at fear, what is the difference between fear of man and fear of God? In Proverbs 1:7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so if you read even the whole book of Proverbs, it's filled with these sayings about what does it mean to fear the Lord? And what does it mean to trust in him? What does it mean to have reverence and awe for him? And to obey him, to listen to what he says. And how is that fear of him different than the fear of man? In Proverbs 29:25, it says, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. So fear of man, like a snare, is a trap. It's something that you fall into that catches you. And yet fear of the Lord is something that keeps you safe. And there's so much more we could look at this theme if we were to do a study in the Bible about fear. You know, Joshua was commanded, do not fear. And so many times there are commands not to fear that God is giving. Another story from 2 Chronicles 20 is the king Jehoshaphat, who was faced with this vast army coming against him. And in his time, he prayed, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And so he knew that rather than have his eyes on the thing that he was afraid of, he needed to seek God. So he had a fear of the Lord. And then in prayer, an answer was given of what they should do, how to fight that battle. And they were told that they were not the ones to fight the battle, that God would fight the battle for them. And that's exactly what happened, as they went up the next day to the spot they were told. They worshiped and they praised, and that's how they led their army. And God fought the battle himself. They didn't even need to fight at all. And so, trusting God, he leads us in how to overcome different battles and how to face opposition. Paul also spoke about this in Galatians 1:10. He said, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. And Paul faced a lot of opposition, as well as the churches that he was writing his letters to. And he was writing often to help them against the opposition that they were facing. And for the Gentiles, they were facing these groups that were coming who were also Christians, but who were Jewish and who were telling them they needed to be circumcised and to do certain things. And so Paul was writing to help to answer some of those things that were being circulated and helping them to understand the freedom that they have in Christ. For myself, simply following Christ and submitting my decisions to his leadership and how he leads me has also put me at odds sometimes with those close to me. And even an example of this would be my dad, who I love and who I see as a good father, has desires for my life and concerns and worries, which I think are normal. And yet, how do I honor and respect him as my father, but also have fear of God and trust in the plans that God has for me and walk in those? And that's something that I have to continue learning and seeking God in my life. So how do we move to faith, to putting our eyes on God, keeping our eyes on him, especially in a storm, especially even in this crisis that we're going through right now, and not looking and focusing our eyes and our thoughts on the things that make us afraid or that we fear? The apostles could easily have been afraid of these threats, of these rulers. Even a few chapters ago, when Peter came into that council, that was the exact same place where Jesus was when he was sent to be crucified. He was in the same presence of those leaders. And yet God had filled him with faith and how to respond. So, yeah, I just want to bring a few more scriptures that we can look at for faith. We look back to Matthew in chapter 5, 11 to 12. Jesus was speaking on the mountain, blessed are those. He said, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. In the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So Jesus gave a warning as well as a blessing that is when persecution comes. And he warned that it would come. In John 15, verse 18 to 27, he said, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world. And because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned, but now they have no excuse for their sin. And he who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done the works among them which no one else did, they would not have sinned, but now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. And this was without cause. Jesus continues that when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. And so Jesus even told them both that they would testify and that the Holy Spirit that he would send would testify. And we saw that exactly in what they said before the men. When the apostles came, they said, we are witnesses to these things, in verse 32, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So they remembered that they were not alone, that the Spirit was also with them. And that's also the promise we have with the command that Jesus gave us. He said to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So in faith, we know that we can keep our eyes on Jesus and that he has promised to be with us. So we've talked about fear, we've talked about faith. And the third point I have is that we have freedom. We have freedom to put our eyes on Jesus and to follow him, and it comes through the Spirit. That to obey God, to serve out of his love, comes through the power of the Spirit. And in Galatians, in chapter 5, it starts with, for freedom, Christ has set us free. And Paul was writing to the Galatians, stand firm, do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. That was the things that these leaders were trying to put on them that were not part of the gospel. And so he was reminding them of the freedom that we were called into. You're called to freedom, brothers, and do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. There was a purpose to our freedom. The purpose was to serve one another out of love. And that in serving out of love, loving each other, loving God, we're actually fulfilling the law. That is what the law was for. And so in Galatians 5:22-23, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. We can see the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law. And so the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, it moves us into freedom and more freedom, freedom to follow Christ, freedom to love each other. And this motivation, you can also see how powerful this freedom that moves from the Spirit out of love is when it says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So, yeah, this is actually bringing me to my closing. I don't know if this is too short or if this has been long enough for you all, but in closing, we see how the apostles, they were continually trained through what they experienced. As the witnesses, through the persecution that they experienced, they were imprisoned another time in this chapter that we looked at, and yet they continue to be commanded what they should do, to teach, to share God's word. And they obeyed what God had told them, what he commanded them. And he used even a leader of the priests, Gamaliel, to speak wisdom that allowed them to continue and not stop teaching and preaching. We saw that the priests felt threatened by them. They were afraid of people. And yet the apostles, by faith, were able to live freely obeying God. And that was a great blessing at that time. And so, for our day and this time, what does it look like for us to know what it is that are those points of fear in our lives, to know the things that we're struggling with that try to take us away from the path of following Jesus? And how can we, through the Spirit, be free of those things and be free to follow him, that God's love would move through us and through one another? So I just want to encourage you all with these words, and I'll pray for us this morning. God, we thank you that we have the Acts of the Apostles written down so that we can know what was happening as the church started and what it was that your Spirit was doing. We thank you that you are the same from that time until now, and you will continue to do the same things. And so we ask that your Spirit would lead us so that we could share about you. We pray that you would deliver us out of fear and fear of man, fear of other things, Lord. We pray that we would look to you and that you would fill us with faith so that we could obey and listen to what you're teaching us. And we pray that you would be our freedom, that you would be your Spirit would work in us to allow us to do this. And we pray for freedom for those who we love that don't yet know you, who are still under the influence of the fears and of the threats and of the influences of this world, that we pray that your light would shine in their hearts and that they would understand this news. We thank you that it's not too far away for anyone, but today, all of us, Lord, we can turn to you. We're never too far down into fear or into other things, Lord, that you can't break into our lives and set us free. So we thank you for that freedom. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.